Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, let your mighty love prevail to purge us of our pride, that we may stand before your throne by mercy purified. Amen. During the early years of the Reformation, Luther, who was by that time a monk, a priest, and a professor at a university lecturing on the Word of God, during that time, Luther came to a realization. But the realization was not the bliss and happiness of being a Christian in a Christian Europe and how great all of that was. Rather, he came to realize something quite the opposite. Luther realized that he hated God. That God was righteous not only frightened Luther, but it angered him. Because he imagined God sitting up there in heaven, casting down commandments to people, knowing that they, as sinners, could not possibly keep them. And Luther was honest enough with himself to know that whatever feeble good works he could string together would not possibly please a righteous God, a God who commands things, a God who demands perfection. And so Luther writes that he raged with a fierce and troubled conscience. You can notice a bit of the same reaction in our gospel reading today. There Jesus tells the listeners, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, we have heard that verse enough times that it has been tamed for us. It has been smoothed over. But in the ears of Jesus' original hearers, it struck a chord. They said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean that you can set us free? Are you implying that we are slaves? Because, Jesus, we are not. We are not slaves." There is indignation whenever the Word of God comes to sinners, that is, whenever it comes to us. Now, fittingly enough, during the Reformation season, during the Reformation itself, we talk about justification. That is a word we like quite a bit, but it is something that we do for ourselves all the time. We try and justify ourselves, especially when we hear the Word of God. By that I mean we hear the Word of God and we start to justify. We start to declare about how we haven't broken that commandment. We haven't done anything wrong. Or maybe instead, why that commandment, that specific word, does not apply to us. And even if it did, why we are completely justified in ignoring what it says on its face. So last week we heard Jesus talk about a man who lifted himself up because he looked around and said, "I am not as bad as other people." People who kind of disgusted him, right? Criminals, perverts, politicians. And the man noted that he was quite proud of his own religious observation, his own offerings. And as you hear that story about that man, you give thanks that you are not like him. You are not that arrogant. Can you imagine? Who would be dumb enough to say something like that to God? As an aside, just because it's during the season, we think this while at the same time knowing we are going to cast a vote in a few weeks because, among other things, because we are disgusted by the people who make up the other half of the country. Murderers, perverts, corrupt scavengers. A few weeks back, we heard Jesus talking about money, and whenever Jesus talks about money, we start to justify, right? Jesus said, "You cannot serve both mammon and God." And we hear him talk about the temptations and the dangers that money brings, but we immediately explain to ourselves why we are not servants to mammon. No, not us. We don't begrudge giving our fair share of taxes and offerings and philanthropy and fees. tuition and insurance, property tax. You know what? It is hard to be secure. It is hard to be comfortable when you just don't have enough money, right? A few weeks before that, we heard Jesus talk about who to invite to a dinner or a banquet. And as you hear Jesus say that, you immediately thought to yourself, okay, what kind of non-dinner, what kind of non-banquet can I throw so that I don't have to invite those kinds of people? And you think that way because you want an excuse. You want a way to explain yourself. If Jesus happened to appear on the spot at the moment, you wanted a way to explain, a way to justify why you are not doing what he tells you to be doing. This happens repeatedly throughout Scripture. We do this when we hear the Sermon on the Mount. We do this when we hear the commands. Paul at one time says that he didn't even know coveting was a sin until someone pointed out to him, there's actually a command against that. And I doubt Paul was thrilled with the guy who told him that. If half of your daydreams are coveting, then the problem can't be with you, right? The problem has to be with the commandment. And this gets to Luther's point. The fact is that when you get down to it, the Scriptures have a remarkable amount of commands and statutes, ordinances, examples. And those place demands, they place duties upon you. And you know that commands are not optional. And so when you hear them, and especially as they start to pile up, your reaction is not about all of the wonderful things that God has given you to do today. Right? They start piling on and you begin to resent it. We are fine with commands when they point out other people's sins. We are not fine. And what burns us is when they start to point out so many of our own. And in this mind, you can confess your sins as Luther did repeatedly during those early days, day after day. But eventually, if you only have this idea of a commanding God, you get fed up. Eventually, you just want God off your back. And you begin to think that God is the unreasonable one here. And when you think like that, you prove that you are children of Adam and Eve. Right? They wanted to pin that whole incident in the garden, they wanted to pin it on God. He was in the wrong. What eventually got Luther around the bend was, as Jesus mentioned, abiding in his word. Luther also had a faithful father confessor who repeatedly pointed him to Christ's suffering on the cross. And as Luther meditated on the words of God, he eventually got to the passage we heard today, Romans chapter 3. And it was not as if he hadn't heard it before, but this time something struck out to him. There Paul points out that the righteousness of God is manifested apart from the law. And it is a righteousness that comes not from our own works, but rather through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation. Paul ends by saying, God is both just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. And this is what we mean when we talk about justification in regard to the Reformation. For all of those who have sinned, for all of those who recognize God's commands demand perfection, a perfection that we ourselves cannot attain, for all of those people, for all of you, God gives his righteousness apart from the law through faith in Christ Jesus. And that realization, that is what made Luther love God. His recognition of God as a merciful God, that Christ was hanging on the cross there, not as a judge, but rather as the one who takes the sentence, who takes the punishment for sinners, for you and me. And he recognized that he did not need to justify himself. We don't need to justify ourselves. We can't. Our excuses are lame. Our justifications are wrong. But Paul says here that God is not only just, he is our justifier. So in Christ, you see that we do not justify ourselves. We don't make excuses. We cannot explain to God why we haven't kept the commandments perfectly. Instead, we admit to him our wrongdoing. We plead guilty. And then because of what Christ has done, God declares us righteous. You are righteous. This is God's gift to you. This is just as true today as it was in Luther's day. This is just as true as it was in our gospel reading during Jesus' day. Last week, Pastor Miller said, we sin because we want control, but sin ends up controlling us. That is exactly what we heard Jesus saying in our gospel reading today. Whoever sins is a slave to sin. And what Jesus had come for is to proclaim freedom for those who are slaves to sin. He says, hey, if I set you free, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Only in Christ crucified could Luther find the mercy of God. Only in Jesus could he find someone who kept the commands. Only in him could he find the one that the commands describe. The one who loves his Father perfectly. The one who loves his neighbor as himself. And only in Christ Jesus will you come to see the commands not as burdens, but rather as ways to please the one who loves you and ways to show his love to those around you. In Christ's sacrifice alone is salvation. And that salvation comes to you by word, by water, by wine. That is the truth proclaimed not only during the Reformation, but it has always been proclaimed during all ages throughout the church. It is the proclamation that brings you to confess your sins so that you may hear God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Amen.